You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. You know, it's times like this morning when there's so much going on beyond those glass doors, things that affect our congregation, things that affect our people, things that affect our community. There's just so much going on that sometimes we have to be reminded of just how very blessed we are. Sometimes we don't feel blessed. And yet we are so very blessed. In Luke's gospel, Luke writes the words of Jesus and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus reminds us that we are blessed. Listen to what Luke writes in chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. It says, "And then Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. And there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon who had come to hear him to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled by unclean spirits were being cured. And all the people were trying to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. And he raised his eyes toward his disciples and began saying, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when the people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and scorn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and jump for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For their fathers used to treat the prophets the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all the people speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets the same way.'" You know, I find this passage of scripture from Luke's gospel account interesting because we usually get a look at the Beatitudes, which is what you've just heard, from the perspective of the fifth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's account of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has some structural differences as compared to Luke's account of the same sermon. And Luke's account is often referred to not as the Sermon on the Mount, but the Sermon on the Plain or the Plateau, because of Luke's reference to what he calls a level place. Mount, Plain, Plateau, it's all the same sermon by Jesus. Matthew's account gives us 8 Beatitudes. Luke gives us only 4, but he also gives us 4 woes. woes, whereas Matthew doesn't give us any woes to consider. See, those differences in perspective and content aren't contradictory by any means. There's just a difference in the focus of the writer and what they gleaned from the hearing of the sermon, just as would be the case if each of you were to write a summary of what I preach here this morning and then compared notes with one another. Your accounts wouldn't be identical at all because you would have gleaned different perspectives. You would have focused on different things this morning. And so it is with the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called the Synoptic Gospels, which means that they're not to be seen individually, but together as one to see the whole picture. And Luke's version has some interesting nuances that Matthew's does not. See, coming down off the mountain with them, he stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea, all over Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They'd come both to hear him because he was the best show in town. And also they came to be cured of their various ailments and diseases. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to reach out and touch Jesus. So much healing energy surging from him. So many people healed that everybody wanted to be a part of it. And then when he spoke, he said these wonderful things like, "You're blessed when you've lost everything, because God's kingdom is there for the finding." Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful perspective. See, we don't think we're blessed when we lose everything in most cases. Is that not true? I've lost everything. But then the blessing is now we have an empty slate, an empty vessel to fill with everything that God has for us. He says you're blessed when you're ravenously hungry, because then you're ready for the Messiah's meal. Isn't that a great saying? See, we don't think of hunger as being more than just an empty belly. It's also an empty spirit that only Jesus can fill. He says, you're blessed when the tears flow freely, because joy comes in the morning. That's a double entendre. Joy comes in the morning, as in when the sun rises on a new day, but also in the morning, the grieving, there's a cleansing that makes way for the joy to fill that empty space. He says, count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me, because what it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and that person, the one that's deriding you, is uncomfortable in the presence of the truth. You can be glad when that happens. Even gives the example, you can skip like a lamb. Have you ever seen a lamb bouncing around a pasture or a field full of unbridled joy for no apparent reason other than, hey, I'm a lamb? Even though people don't like your joy that you reflect in Christ, all of heaven is applauding when you show it. And Jesus says, you're in good company because my preachers and my witnesses have always been treated badly by those who don't get it. And then he starts talking about the woes. the woes. Matthew doesn't share the woes with us, but Luke finds them to be important. He says, there's trouble ahead if you think you have it made, because what you have is all you'll ever get. To think about that. If you think you have it made in this life, beware, because it might be the sum total of the goodness that you get. There's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. Isn't that the truth? If you're pleased with where you are, to the point to where you're no longer seeking the face of God, beware. Because you will only satisfy yourself for so long. And he says, it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games, because there's suffering to be met and you're going to meet it. We have to take this thing called life seriously. That doesn't mean we can't have fun and express joy, but there are times when we need to be serious about what it is we're saying, doing, and thinking. Because the consequences of not taking this Jesus thing seriously are eternal, and they can be very damaging to you and those around you if you're not taking Jesus seriously. He says there's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. And then he says this wonderful phrase that is translated in the Message version. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. See, I like that phrase, scoundrel preachers. The world is full of false prophets, false teachers. Preaching a false message that has bits of truth sprinkled in to give the appearance of credibility and legitimacy. Beware the scoundrel preachers, and don't be misled by their message of self-interest and demonic deception. Test everything against Scripture to see if it holds water, to ensure it passes the scriptural test and meets the word and the will of God. If you study your scriptures, red flags and rocket bursts will go off whenever you hear something that goes against them. But only if you're aware and you study. See, that word, beatitude, it's a Latin word, beatitudo. It means a condition or a state of profound joy and fulfillment, a state of blessedness. Blessedness is a grace from God, a gift that God bestows on us when we are within the boundaries of His perfect will. And in this sermon that Jesus preaches, he's speaking about the coming kingdom and the reality of the already established kingdom in the lives of believers here on earth right now. So it's something for the future, but it's also for the right now. It's like that candy, you know, now and later, right? It's good for the now, but it also lasts forever. It's a long-term thing. The thing about blessings are they come with responsibilities. And that's the part where Jesus was saying you have to take these things seriously, because your eternal salvation is not fun and games. There's things that you have to watch out for, the woe to yous that Jesus warns us of. And as Christ followers, we have a responsibility to function in the world as salt and light. That's a whole different sermon that I'm not going to get into. But James chapter 2, verse 26 tells us that while we are saved by faith, faith without works is dead. We can't just sit idle in our salvation. You can't just sit idle in your blessedness. We can't hide behind the walls of our sanctuary while the unsaved world goes spinning by beyond the walls. No, we have to be active participants in our sanctification, in our growth into maturity in Christ. And then we have to be actively spreading the salt and the light of the gospel to the world that's in need of a Savior. Because our purpose ultimately is to first know Christ, and then knowing Christ to make Christ known to others. Know Christ and make Christ known to others. So what does this small portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount mean for us this morning? Well, it serves as both an encouragement and a warning. An encouragement to live into these verses of Holy Scripture in the coming days. Consider them an epiphany opportunity for ministry in your mission field. A hungry world is waiting for the spiritual nourishment that you, church, possess. And your task is to pour it out to someone out there who needs Jesus in their lives. And the warning is, if you don't do that, you're hoarding the blessings that God has given you and not allowing them to flourish and grow the kingdom of God. The purpose of your blessing is so that you are equipped to bless others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.